Each week, we're double dog daring you to grow in your relationship with Christ, to take another step wherever you're at, to grow closer to our Father, to grow closer to those around you, to be double dog dared to love as Christ has loved us. Next week will be the wrap up of the series. We're going to have the mystery box. We're going to be taking audience participation next week. So could be your lucky day next Sunday. If you haven't seen the mystery box, you can Google that, YouTube it. It's where you stick your hands in and you figure out what's in the box. So that'll be fun. It's been a fun series and can't wait. I think we're going to do it again next year just because I've got some other great ideas. Like, I think we should have Brian Vaughn be tased. I'm just stuck on that idea. And some other ideas. There will be some great double dog dares that we could do, jumping out of perfectly good airplanes, stuff like that. So if you got your Bibles, go ahead and open them up. We're going to launch out of the book of Psalm today. You go to the book of Psalms. It's in the middle of your Bible. We're in Psalms 68. If you don't have your own Bible, you can look at page 482. There's a burgundy Bible in front of you. Go to page 482. One of the things we try to do is make these available. If you don't have a Bible of your own, you can take it home with you as you go. We'd love for everybody to have a Bible to take with them and have it home as well. Now, I'm going to be hitting a lot of verses today. A lot of verses. So, you can do a couple different things. One is you can look at your program. It's got all the different passages and the page numbers if you're in the Burgundy Bible. If you're good with your own Bible, then it's got all the different passages. You can look them up and follow along with us, or it'll also be on the screen behind me. But I love to hear the rustling of pages because there's something about reading from your own Bible and underlining and highlighting and remembering where the Word speaks to us, okay? So in Psalm 68 verse 4 is we're going to be kicking off here in just a minute. But first, I want to read to you some statistics. We're double dog daring you today to discover the heart of God when it comes to orphans and adoption. Scripture talks over and over again. You're going to see a lot of verses today that talks about God's heart for the orphan and how He loves the children. And I'm going to be challenging you to discover that heart. And I hope that today you can just set aside your predetermined ideas. You know, I know some of you have had good experiences in adoption. Some have had bad. Some have had good experiences working with orphanages. Some have had bad. Some have had good experiences in seeing folks that have come and been foster parents. And some have had bad. I wanted you to set all that aside for a minute and just listen to the Word of God when we read it. And I want you to hear the heart that God has for the orphan, okay? Now, in our nation, we have a lot. I went through, somebody sent me the statistics. In America alone right now, we have 111,820 children seeking adoption. 111,820 seeking adoption. In 2015, good news is, we had 53,549 adopted from those that adopted out of Department of Children's Services nationwide. And the average age of the child waiting for adoption is not an infant. The average age is 7 years and 7 months. Now, the foster care statistics, we have 427,910 in foster care. That's a lot of kids. And in 2015, we had 269,509 that entered foster care in 1 year alone. Now, the goal of all those organizations is to get them back with the parents. Sometimes that doesn't always work because the parents aren't getting their stuff together that they need to get together in order to have the children back in the home. Last year, children exiting foster care in 2015, 243,060. That's a good thing. That means that many are going back to their parents or they're being adopted. Average time in foster care, 20 months. 20.4. Now, children aging out, this is the saddest part. These are children that have aged out of the foster care without adoptive parents. And that's 20,789 last year. Now, bringing home local Tennessee, for the 2016-2017 fiscal year, we had 1,255 adoptions. So that's a victory. And in full guardianship with DCS, who do not have a permanent family, those that are waiting to be adopted. We have 380 kids today in our state that are looking for an adoptive home. 380. It's a lot. Approximate number of children currently in foster care is 8,600. And the number of caring adults it takes to make a lifelong difference in the life of a child, one. One's the magic number. So these numbers are overwhelming to me when I look at the big picture. When I look at the great needs nationwide, and even in our own state, it's overwhelming. But when I look at that last number, I'm encouraged. Because it takes one person pouring into the life of a child that makes the difference. It takes one person who's willing to say, enough is enough. It's time for me to get involved. Now, that doesn't mean all of us need to adopt. Doesn't mean that all of us need to become foster parents. But I do believe, as we're going to look today at the Word of God, I believe it does mean that all of us are supposed to do something. All of us are supposed to find something that we can be a part of, that we can make a difference in the lives of those that God is going to describe that He is a father to the fatherless. So let's read this first passage, Psalm 68. This is a passage, it's an actual song. The book Psalms means actually it's like their hymn book, okay? It's a hymn book for the Jews that they would sing to the Lord. And so in this song, this is what he wrote. Sing praises to God and to His name. Sing loud praises to Him who rides the clouds. His name is the Lord. Rejoice in His presence. Let me just stop there for a second. If you read the book of Psalms, you will see so many times it says rejoice in His presence. Rejoice. Celebrate. And I just want to tell you that there's a reason that when we sing and we have the full band, it's because we believe that God calls us to rejoice. We have something to celebrate, and that is a relationship with the Creator of the universe, and we can rejoice in that. Verse 5, He is a father to the fatherless, defender of widows. This is God whose dwelling is holy. God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free and gives them joy, but He makes the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, I just come this morning and I humble myself because, Lord, I know that if I try to coerce people or guilt people into helping the orphan, Lord, that only lasts for a short time and it's not what brings You glory. But God, what does bring You glory is when we discover Your heart and we begin to live it out each day and we begin to love the orphan because You loved us. And we get to be Your hands and feet, pouring out Your love. Lord, that is what transforms. That's what makes the difference in the life of a child. So, Father, I come before You humbly, and I pray that You would speak through me. And that every soul in this room would walk out asking the question, what could I do to make a difference in the life of an orphan? I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the very first thing, on your listening guide, if you want to pull that out, is to understand God's heart for the orphan. I want you to understand His heart for the orphan. My hope is that you'll have your heart tender this morning as we read these passages, that your heart would be open to what God might say to you. And for some of you, perhaps you have been an orphan. Perhaps you've lost a mother or a father to death or to difficulty. Perhaps you're a foster parent today. I hope you'll be encouraged. Perhaps you've been adopted, and I pray that today you'll realize that your Heavenly Father loves you, and He Himself wants to adopt you as well. So, this first passage, Psalm 68, 4 through 6, tells us that He is a father to the fatherless. Now, even if you had a dad, I'm confident that he wasn't perfect. I don't know any fathers that are perfect. And my father, as I was growing up, was a good father. He provided for my family. He was there for me as I was growing up. But he wasn't a perfect father. And I'm not a perfect father. I've yet to meet the perfect father except our Heavenly Father. Matter of fact, if you, I don't know how your Thanksgiving went. But my Thanksgiving Day and the day after went really well. The drive to West Tennessee revealed my imperfections as a dad. 2 weeks ago, I told somebody I need to get new tires on our vehicle. And I kept saying, I'll do it tomorrow. The time got close, and I said, I got Monday and Tuesday. And Monday and Tuesday were just slam-packed. I was like, okay, we'll make it one more trip to West Tennessee on these tires. Yeah, bad. Okay, so we're about 150 miles down the road, and I'm driving, and this guy passes me. Did you get that? He passed me. I just want you to know that after my sermon about speeding a while back when I was, yeah. Anyway, he passes me. He rolls down his window. He's like, your tire's flat. And it was the one tire that I was worried about not making it. So I pull over, and it's not down to the rim, but it's closed. And I'm like, oh, Lord, why didn't I listen? Why didn't I get that tire? And I'm like, okay, 1 mile to the exit. Maybe I can make it. So I start driving on the interstate, trying to make it to the next exit. I get on the off-ramp, and poof, it goes. Blows the tire. I drive on the rim to get to the flat area, which you never want to drive on the rim, right? So I get to the flat area, and I'm like, okay, this is my fault. I blew it. Okay. But we'll be all right. You know, we'll make a phone call. So we have to call like four places before we find somebody even has the tire. Fortunately, we had taken two vehicles because some of our family members had to come back early for something. So we jumped in the other vehicle, and we drove to get the tire replaced. Well, actually, first, let me backstep. First, we thought about putting a spare on so we could go to the place, right? So we go to jack the car up. We find out the jack that was in the car was the wrong jack. Yeah, we just got this car like 4 months ago, and somebody who ever had it before us decided that they had lost the jack, I guess, and just threw one in there. And so it was the wrong jack. It didn't work. So then we robbed the jack from the other vehicle, and we got the tire up high enough to pull the flat tire off. So I go to put the spare tire on. Guess what? Five lugs, not six. What that means is it doesn't fit. So we're like, oh my goodness, why didn't a good husband and father would have checked the spare tire, right? But anyway, so we throw that to the side. We throw the flat tire in the car. We drive to the next town to go get a tire. We get a tire put on. We come back. I'm thinking, okay, you know, we're on the road to recovery. We go to put the new tire on, and guess what? The other jack doesn't get it high enough to get an inflated tire on the car. Yeah, it gets better. So I take the other jack out of the other that didn't work the first time. I put it under another part of the car and try to raise it up, get it up just enough to slide the tire on, get the tire tight, and then we can't get the jack out. It's wedged under there. I'm going, Lord, is this a test? I'm failing. So my son says, well, why don't we just drive off, Dad? It's front-wheel drive. Yeah, it just sounds bad, doesn't it? But I was desperate. I was like, good idea. Let's do it. Here's the keys. I'll tell you if anything breaks. So he gets in to turn the car on. Guess what? Click, 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 click. The battery's dead. While I was at the store getting a tire, somebody was watching TV in the back seat. Oh, I'm like, this is hilarious. No, I was not like that then. Okay. It's only hilarious when I retell the story, right? So then I get back in the car. We go to jump the car off, and it won't start. I even had cables. I was so proud. I did have cables, and it wouldn't jump. I called my buddy who's a mechanic. He said, you know, check and see. You could have bad cables. Bad cable? I've only used them a couple times. Fortunately, we had another set of cables in the other vehicle. I put them on, and it started right up. Bad cables, bad tire, bad jack, bad day. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what's the chances? And it all results from bad dad that could have put the new tires on and just postponed it and procrastinated a little bit longer. I say that to say, listen, nobody's got a perfect dad. There's only one perfect Father, and it's our Father in heaven who loves us unconditionally, even when we make stupid decisions and we don't change the tire, even when we get selfish and we reject Him and we don't even pray to Him for a while. He still loves us and wants to have a relationship with us. He is the Father to the fatherless that loves us more than we deserve. And He says to the orphan, you may not have an earthly father, but I will be your heavenly Father. And He wants to have a relationship with everybody. And He's a father to the fatherless. Well, second thing I want you to see about understanding God's heart is God is the one who hears their cries. Exodus 22, 21 to 23, you can skip back some pages. Page 65, it's where the people of Israel are coming out of Egypt. And God's trying to give them instructions on how to live as a nation. And orphans were a high priority for Him. He says to them in verse 23, you must not mistreat or oppress foreigners in any way. Remember, you yourselves were once foreigners in the land of Egypt. You must not exploit a widow or an orphan. If you exploit them in any way and they cry out to me, then I will certainly hear their cry. God hears their cry. He hears the cry of an orphan. He is waiting to act on their behalf. And so you need to know that the father to the fatherless is listening. His ears are attentive to those who are the widow and the orphan to hear their cry and to move on their behalf. So if you want to know what kind of a place that you live in, you look at the way that that place treats those who cannot take care of themselves. You look at the way they treat the widows, the orphans, the special needs, those who cannot provide for their own, the elderly. That's how you discover what kind of culture and community you have. I'm grateful that in our community we have a lot of things going for us. We are so blessed. As a church, we are so blessed. We get to partner with so many different great ministries. We have the Lighthouse Christian Camp that we've been encouraging you to be a part of over this month. And the information's in the bulletin about that. We partner with so many other different groups as well that we support and serve. We do missions around the world with different orphanages in different countries like Nicaragua, Guatemala, Costa Rica. We partner locally with Department of Children's Services, and we've outside today we've got DCS, we've got Youth Villages, we've got different organizations to help with the adoptive process. There's no local adoption agency here, so part of our team just said, why don't we start one? So we're in the process of starting an adoption agency here in Cookeville so that we can fuel this idea of adoption. I really believe that, as a matter of fact, if we were to ask how many folks in here have been foster parents or adoptive parents, let's just do that. How many of you in here have ever done that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, look at the hands everywhere. Way to go, guys. Way to go. And I would just say to you, there's a lot of folks just this year in our church that have adopted children through different processes, either DCS or overseas. But that may not be for you. If not, there's other ministries and services you can partner in, like the Children's Advocacy Center that provides an opportunity for kids that are going through tough times legally because of what their parents have done to them to have a safe place to go. There's CASA that provides a court-appointed advocate for these children. There's other ministries here in town like Mustard Seed Ranch and the Baptist Children's Home that we've got five of them throughout Tennessee that provide free care for orphans that need a place. There's so many different ways that we can get involved. Steve will tell you about those later on. But here's what you need to know. The Lord hears their cries and He moves on us to give them justice. That's the third thing. God is the giver of justice to the orphan. Deuteronomy 10, just three books over. Deuteronomy 10, He's given more instruction and describing the Lord's heart for the orphan. It says, for the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords. He is great God, the mighty and awesome God, who shows no partiality and cannot be bribed. He ensures that orphans and widows receive justice. He shows love to the foreigners living among you and gives them food and clothing. God is impartial. He doesn't care if you're rich or poor or black or white, young or old. He loves unconditionally. And so for the orphan, I want you to know he loves them and he will bring justice. It may be in heaven when the full justice takes place, but the Lord will bring justice. And the next is he's the provider for the orphan. Skip over just a couple of chapters there to Deuteronomy 24. By the way, all these passages are listed on your listening guide if you want to kind of get your fingers ready. Deuteronomy 24 tells us he's the provider for the orphan. Verse 17. True justice must be given to foreigners living among you and to orphans. And you must never accept a widow's garment as security for her debt. Always remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God redeemed you from your slavery. That is why I've given you this command. When you are harvesting your crops and forget to bring a bundle of grain from your field, don't go back to get it. Leave it for the foreigners, the orphans, and the widow. Then the Lord your God will bless you in all you do. When you beat the olives from your olive trees, don't go over the boughs twice. Leave the remaining olives for the foreigners, orphans, and widows. When you gather the grapes in your vineyard, don't glean the vines after they're picked. Leave the remaining grapes for the foreigners, orphans, and widows. Remember that you are slaves in the land of Egypt. That is why I'm giving you this command. God is the provider for the orphan. I had somebody say to me, if God is such a good God, why isn't he doing anything about the orphans to provide for the needs overseas as well as here? And my response is always, he is. He's moving in the heart of the church to do something. Whether the church listens or not, that's up to the church. I celebrate the fact that for those that weren't here last year, in the months of October, November, we challenged everybody to make a difference globally, and we partnered with Compassion International, and we had over 250 children sponsored for the first time globally to meet their needs through education, food, clothing, and faith. And that's a monthly cost that 250 people, 250 families absorbed to make a difference in lives globally. Locally, we have folks that are serving on different ministries here in town, whether it be Brandon, who played the guitar up for you and led the worship today. Didn't even plan that, but Brandon's on the team at Mustard Seed Ranch and is on staff there and leads the charge in some areas for them. We have others, many people in our church that have been through the process with DCS and foster care and are fostering and adopting. And it's so exciting to see people being unselfish and sacrificing for children that they've never met until they get a chance to be introduced to them, either through DCS or Tennessee Baptist Children's Home. So I want to celebrate that and say that God puts that on our hearts. Now, my wife and I, we've been foster care parents. We've only been allowed to do respite because we had six of our own, and they have a limit of six in the home, so they kind of thought we couldn't handle anymore, which maybe they were right because they met my kids. And or maybe if they had met my kids, they would have a different opinion. But now that I've got one that's gone and another one getting married, we're looking back into doing more than just respite and praying through that. And what does that look like? When we were in California, we had a 14-year-old that came and lived with us, and we began to parent her, and we had her for about 8 months. And I'd like to tell you that if you step out and you do this, there's going to be all this warm fuzzy and easy cheesy, and it's just not true. If you parented your own kids, you know how hard that is, right? So parenting foster kids and orphans is hard as well. And it takes a lot of dying to yourself on a regular basis. For my wife and I, we walked that journey with Rebecca for 8 months. And then that relationship, she actually ran away. And we tried to work through things, but she was able to get emancipated at a very young age. I think 16, she was emancipated. But we loved on her. And we had hoped that, you know, I even think back now, she'd be in her early 30s and she has kids, and I even think, you know, how cool would that be if that could have made it? So I would just say to you that God calls you and I, calls us to be his hands and feet. And it may not be that you're called to be a foster parent. It may not be that you're called to be an adoptive parent, but we can all do something, and that's the second point. Make a difference in the lives of orphans. Isaiah 1, I was going to read it to you. It says, learn to do good, seek justice, help the oppressed, defend the cause of the orphans, fight for the rights of widows. How can you defend orphans? What area can you get involved in to make a difference? Maybe it's the sponsorships for Lighthouse Christian Camp, giving them a chance for a week to get out into the camp environment and find and experience life that like they've never known it in the city that they live in, and providing them a chance to hear the good news of Jesus Christ in the camp setting. Maybe you need to sponsor 10 kids for Lighthouse this year. Maybe it was all the folks, and I just celebrate all you folks that brought toys for the Lighthouse Christian Camp so that we could bless them and they could have their Christmas party. Maybe it's being the hands and feet of Jesus and serving on with the Children's Advocacy Center. Or maybe it's with CASA, being a CASA representative, or whatever it is, find a niche that you can make a difference. And it may be as simple as the next door neighbor or two neighbors down that you're helping with their kid when they can't be there, because they have to work two jobs to pay the bills, and you can provide some stability. What is it that you and I can do to make that difference? He calls us to be the defender of the orphans. James 1:26 in the New Testament says this, and this is probably the passage that's most quoted when it comes to orphans. It says, if you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for the orphan and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Don't let the world corrupt you and sell you on the idea that you got to have more stuff, bigger house, cooler, newer car, better, nicer clothes. Don't let the world corrupt you into thinking that's what's important. What's important is that we are the defender of the orphan. Now, what I find is when people sacrifice their lives and they give them away to the Lord, then He goes around and He blesses them more than they ever could imagine anyway. I find that the Lord wants to bless us tremendously in relationships, that He wants to bless us in that peace that we have. And I would just say to you that He calls us to be the defender of the orphan. So what way can we do that? What way can we genuinely love the widow and the orphan? Maybe for you it's more of the widow. Maybe for you it's more of you have a great love for people who are senior adults. Who, let me just say, we have more and more folks that are being that are living longer. And I believe the need is going to increase for those that will love those in a nursing home, that have that gift of going and sitting and praying and loving those that have no one else to come to visit. Well, the third thing I want to double dog dare you to do today, I want to double dog dare you to be adopted into God's family. God is the awesome God of adoption. And in Ephesians, if you flip to the New Testament there in Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is writing the people in Ephesus. And the people in Ephesus would have understood the Roman ways. And in Rome, the law was if you adopted a child, they were given all the rights. Okay, they were given all the rights of a birth child. And so you could not renege on those rights. You couldn't like sign them up and then 6 months later go, you know what, I'm not enjoying this journey. I want to give them back. When you adopted a child, they are yours for life. Same way here in America. When you adopt them, they're here for life. So Paul uses this snapshot, this picture, to let us see how God wants to adopt all of us as His children. Here's what he says in verse 3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy without fault in His eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. This is huge. It says, even before God made the world, he loved us. Now, probably the best people that can understand that would be women. Okay, when you get pregnant and that child is inside of you, my wife, she's talking to the baby, she's rubbing the baby, she feels the baby's kicks. Me, I'm like, yeah, it's there, you know? Until that baby came out, until my first child came out and I held it in my arms, it wasn't real for me. Does that make sense? But it was real for her even before that child was born. And in the same way, God loved you before you were even born. Before you were birthed, God loved you. He had a plan for you. I believe that with all my heart. I believe he wants to adopt everybody in this room and give them his last name and give them a forever family. I believe that's the love of God, that he wants to adopt you into that family through Jesus Christ. Verse 7 again says, he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave his sin. That's what communion was about today. God's adoption of us had one problem. Someone still had to pay for the sin. You see, sin cannot enter eternity in heaven. Sin cannot go into heaven. There will be no sin in heaven. It will be a perfect place. So something had to happen with our sin. So before we could be adopted into the family, we had to confess that sin, and Christ had to give his life for that sin. And he took all of our sins upon the cross and forgave us for that, for everything in our past. But we have to call out to him. It's one thing that's a little different between adoption with children and adoption with God. When you go to adopt a child, you sign the paper. I think the judge signs the paper. The state signs the paper, whoever does that officially for them. But the child doesn't sign the paper. They are adopted based on the parent's decision and the court's decision. Well, with God, you and I have that decision. He invites us to be adopted. He is there ready to sign the paperwork to give you his last name, to say, this is my son, this is my daughter, I will adopt him. I will pay the price for what they owe. They will start with a clean bill of slate because of my grace. But we have to be willing to say, yes, Lord, I want that. And that's the last thing. Last thing, receive full rights as adopted children of God. Receive full rights. Skip down to Romans 8. Romans 8, 23. What are these full rights? It's the right of a son. The right of a daughter. Here's what it says in Romans 8, 23. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit with us, for a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adoptive children, including the new bodies he's promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But we look forward to something we don't have. We must wait patiently and confidently. This life we have, as great as it can be with God, is nothing compared to the promise we have of eternity in heaven. Now, I got to have some fun with my family. We did finally make it down to West Tennessee where my wife's family and my dad live. And my wife's family, she's got three brothers. They've all got kids. They're all similar age to our kids. And when we get there, man, we go outside and we just play. We played ultimate frisbee. We played kickball. We threw the football. We played volleyball. We played basketball. We played dodgeball. And all I could do was just chew on Tylenol for 2 days. Because this body does not respond the same way it did when I was 25. I was sore. my knees. I was talking to two people in first service. One just had knee surgery. Another one had like the meniscus out or something. And they're like, yeah, I'm going to have surgery. The bodies begin to deteriorate, don't they? Some of you, can give me a little bit stronger amen than others. Yeah. But when we enter the kingdom of heaven, we will have bodies that will never deteriorate. We, amen. We'll have the full reward. We'll have true love without sin. Can you imagine that? Whatever you're dealing, you don't have to worry about somebody cheating you. You don't have to worry about somebody lying to you. You don't have to worry about temptation. I don't know about you guys, but I hate temptation. I wish God would just take it all away from me now. But we live in a world with temptation. But when we enter the kingdom of heaven, we will be set free for now and eternity. Amen. That's something to look forward to. So I've got a double challenge. A double challenge for you today. If you would bow your head with me. The first challenge is, what are you going to do for orphans? If you can read the scriptures and not recognize that something needs to be done, then I think your heart has become hardened. So maybe for you, it's you want to get on Compassion's website and go, you know what, I want to do something globally. Maybe you need to take a trip with one of our trips to one of the orphanages that we go to and go, you know what, I want to serve in an orphanage and just see what God's doing there. Maybe it's working with Mustard Seed Ranch and what they're doing. Maybe it's one of the Baptist children's homes and what they're doing. Maybe it's Rising Above. I don't know. But my first challenge to everybody is, how can you get involved? For some, I think God's already talking to you about being a foster parent. Maybe about being an adoptive parent. Maybe you've kind of thrown it around as something you want to do someday. But let me tell you, it starts today. You got to go through months of training. You got to go through home studies. And it's a good thing, because we need to make sure that children are being entrusted to the right people that will love them. But you may need to start today. And then my second challenge is, if you're here today and you've never been adopted in the family of God, let me explain to you, it's not just enough that you come to church. That doesn't make you a child of God. I have people say to me sometimes, well, everybody's a child of God. No, they're not. Everybody is a creation of God that He loves and wants to be their dad. But He gives us this thing called free will. And He gives us the invitation. He gives us a certificate that says, I want to adopt you. But you have to surrender your will to His and say, I want to be a child of God instead of my own independent person. If God is speaking to your heart right now, saying, today is your day of salvation. Today is the day to give your life completely and totally over to Him. Then don't fight it anymore. Let your dad adopt you today. If God is speaking to your heart and saying, today's your day, then pray this prayer to the Lord with all sincerity. And you can pray it silently to yourself, following after me as I pray. Dear Father, I want you to be my dad. I ask today that you would adopt me into your family. Lord, I pray that Christ would forgive me and wash away all my sins of my past. Lord, I turn away from my old selfish ways and I turn to you to trust Jesus as my Savior and to follow you. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.